Our theme for the day is Raised to Life, and I wanted to spend a few minutes together this morning kind of fleshing that out a little bit and let you see why we chose that as our theme, and point out to you how it really does continue our theme through the summer of Tell Your Story and Give God Glory. So as we think about Raised to Life, I wanted to show you the verse that we used for that theme. Romans 6 and 4 says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And we're going to do the message in a little bit different format this time. That is our theme. That's the primary verse that we're going to look at this morning, and it's just going to stay up there the whole time because I want us to be able to refer to it a few times, and I want you to be able to see it. Along the way, we'll use Scripture, we'll use the Bible and go back and forth together, but I'm just going to leave that slide there because I want you to be able to see it, and I want it to sink in. Look at what it says here. "We were therefore buried with him." And you know what that's referring to. Sin was so devastating to mankind that the penalty for it was death. And God loved us so much that he said, instead of you dying a spiritual death to pay for your sin, I love you so much, I'm going to send my son who will die in your behalf. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came to die in our place to pay that penalty for our sin because God loved us enough to send him to do that very thing. Poor Phil. Phil worked 3 days this week, hours on this thing, and it worked perfectly all week long. And now it's just now starting up. If it keeps doing that, just forget it. All right. Now, where was I? God so loved the world, he sent Jesus who died on the cross. After Jesus died on the cross, they took his body off the cross and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. Now, I love the fact that it was just a borrowed tomb, right? Because he wasn't going to use it very long. He just borrowed it for a few days. They took his body off the cross. They put his body in that borrowed tomb. And on the third day, on that Easter Sunday morning, they came to see and to take care of his body. And his body wasn't there because he had already come back to life. He not only had power to pay the penalty for sin, he also had the power to come back from death, which was that penalty, to come back from death, to be victorious over the grave in order that he could bring to us that very same victory. You see, we were therefore buried with him. When we go under the water in baptism, we are symbolically connecting to him. We're remembering that when he died, they buried him. And we're also saying, now I want to associate with him. And so in this picture, I'm being buried like he was buried. But then we don't leave the person underwater for very long. Well, you know, most people, the people I like, don't stay under very long. We don't leave the person under the water very long. We bring that person out of the water again on purpose because that continues the picture. Because not only were we buried with him, but we were also raised with him. I'm going to go ahead and look over there in Romans 6 and 4. If you want to go there with me, that'd be great because we're just going to camp out there in Romans 6 and 4. We're buried with him through baptism into death in order that... See, we're going to go underwater on purpose. We go underwater in order that... just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So when we come back out of the water, that is the powerful part of the picture. I mean, you might say that the only reason we go underwater is so that we can show the picture of coming back out of the water. The only reason we demonstrate that we were buried with him is so that we can demonstrate that we have also been raised with him. You see, when we really connect with Jesus Christ, then we receive the power of the crucifixion as he forgives us of sin, but we also receive the power of resurrection. As he came to new life, he brings to us new life. When we really trust in him, the old has passed away, according to 1 Corinthians, the old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what we celebrate in the powerful picture of baptism. In baptism, we celebrate the fact that we have indeed been raised to life. Baptism is how you declare a changed life. When you get baptized, you are telling the rest of the world, I have been changed. I am no longer who I was. Jesus came into my life, forgave me of my sin, gave me a new start, and it's so meaningful to me that I want the world to know about it. And so I declare through the waters of baptism that I have been changed, that I have been raised to life with Christ. Now, I want to show you a few little glimpses out of the life of Peter. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 22, and in Luke 22, I want to show you what happened the night that they took Jesus away. In Luke 22, at verse 54, they're taking Jesus away. He has been arrested already. And they're dragging him away. And it says in Luke 22, at 54, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And in that last phrase, we begin to get a glimpse of part of Peter's problem. You see, Peter was there. He knew Jesus, and yet he was just following at a distance. Being close can cost you something. So some people choose to follow, but not too close. I want to be saved. I believe in Jesus. I want that part, but I want to follow at a distance. I don't want him to really have too much control, and I certainly don't want anybody knowing about it. I don't want them to look at me funny or to think about me funny. And so I'll follow Jesus, but I want to follow him at a distance. And then notice what happened to Peter in the next verse. At 55, and when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. He's following Jesus at a distance, which means that now he is at ease to sit with the crowd. He's not with Jesus. He's following from a distance. But now he is with them, with the crowd. You take a stand with him, or you take a seat with the crowd. Baptism is getting up from your seat with the crowd and taking a stand with Jesus. Baptism is publicly declaring, this is the real deal for me. And I'm not just like everyone else around me. I'm different because I'm connected to Jesus Christ. Baptism is taking a stand instead of taking a seat. Let's continue the story there at 56. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. See the accusation? The accusation is you're with Jesus, right? But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him. he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them. You belong with him." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is Galilean. He looks like him, he talks like him, he dresses like him, he eats like him. He must be with him." Have you ever noticed that those were the accusations? Not that Peter had done something wrong. The accusations were, "Aren't you with Jesus?" And each time the denial is, "I don't know him. I'm not with them. I'm sitting in the crowd where it's easy and comfortable and this fire is warm." That always bothered me, that Peter would lie. It always bothered me that he would say, "I'm not really with him." I mean, think about it, Peter. You were with him when he fed the 5,000. You were with him when he walked on the water, and he called you out to walk on it with him. You were with him when he healed your mother-in-law. Of course, that may explain. No. I'm sorry, baby. You know I love Nana. Peter, you were with him. How can you now say, "I'm not with him"? How can you lie? And I think what I have figured out, what I've learned, is maybe he's not lying. Maybe he's really not with him. Steve Furtick is a powerful preacher who kind of explained this well and in a way that I was able to get it. He said he had a friend that played for the Carolina Panthers, and the friend invited him to come to a football game and sit with the family of the player said, "My family will be there and you can sit with them. It'll be fun." And so Furtick, he got the jersey that had the player's name, a number on it, and had the player's name on the back. And he went there, and he said he was having a good time. He looked around, and he saw a lot of people in the stands that had that player's number on, had that player's name on their jersey. And he said, "I was sitting down the row from the player's wife, and I noticed she didn't have his jersey on because she had his ring on." He said, "I thought about that, and I realized, if that player drops the ball and he fumbles and he loses the game, I can go home and I can take that jersey off. But when she goes home, she got to go home with him, because she doesn't just wear the jersey, she wears the ring." It's easy for us to say, "I'm for Jesus." It's something else completely to say, "I'm with Jesus." You just wearing a jersey today? You just saying, "I'm a Christian because that's the right thing to do. I'm a Christian because I'm not a Jew or a Hindu or a Muslim, so that must mean I'm a Christian. I'm for Jesus. He's a good guy. I love Jesus." Or are you ready to say today, "I'm with him"? Even when it means I get dragged into the courtyard, even when it means I get dragged up to the high priest, even if it means that I get dragged all the way to Calvary, I'm going to be with him. You see, it's one thing to say I'm for him. It's something else to say I'm with him. Baptism says, folks, I'm standing up from the crowd. I'm not going to be seated any longer. I'm taking my stand with him, and for the rest of my life, he and I will be together. Baptism is the wedding ring of the Christian life. It shows the world who you belong to. You have to decide for yourself at some point in your life. It's not a decision that your parents can make for you. It's not a decision that anyone else can make for you. You have to decide for yourself at some point in your life, are you really going to follow him? And if you decide that you're really going to follow him, that starts by taking the first step of following him, which is baptism, to let the people know you're with him. It starts when you take your stand for him. Baptism is one of the most beautiful illustrations that we have. And that's why tonight at 5 o'clock, we are still going to be living out our theme for the summer. We're going to have over a dozen people tell their story and give God glory. You won't hear them say a word, but you're going to see them tell their story in baptism. And then if we run over to Acts chapter 2, we just finished seeing Peter in Luke. If we run over to Acts chapter 2 real quick, I'm going to look at verse 14 here in just a second. But you remember what has happened now between the end of Luke and the beginning of Acts. Jesus did indeed die on the cross. They did indeed bury his body. And on the third day, they noticed they came to the realization that he had risen. His body was no longer there. They wound up interacting with the risen Jesus. They saw him. They talked to him. They were able to touch him. They had interactions with the risen Jesus. And then Jesus ascended to go back up to heaven to be with the Father. And when he did, he sent the Holy Spirit down to be with believers. Actually, to be in believers. All right, and it is that experience that happens in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes down and fills the churches, fills the church, fills the believers. And now look at 2 and 14. Peter stood up with the 11. I could stop right there and preach for half an hour the exciting news that a minute ago he was sitting down with the crowd. Now he's standing up with the 11. He took his stand. He's no longer with the crowd sitting around where it's comfortable and easy and it's warm by the fire. Instead, he took his stand. He stood with the 11 and he raised his voice. Don't tell me there's something wrong with yelling when you preach. It's Bible. Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all who have lived in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. He was explaining to them what was going on. All these Christians started acting different and sounding different and being different, and they didn't understand. They said, well, maybe those guys are drunk. And Peter stands up and says, they're not drunk. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what God said would happen by the prophet Joel. The power of the Holy Spirit has come upon the people. Now, understand what's going on in Peter's life. Just a few minutes ago, we saw him cuddled with the masses, scared to take a stand, and now he is standing with the 11, proclaiming to the religious people around him, folks, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. The Holy Spirit of God is filling us. Peter now has power. He now has courage. He now has authority. Why? Because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and brings that power of victory into the hearts and lives of believers. And so in Romans 6 and 4, our main verse, it says we are buried with him through baptism unto death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too live a new life. Peter's got a whole new thing going on because of the power of the risen Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that same power is available and is affecting lives today. When we really trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and turn our lives over to him once and for all, and we say, I'm no longer sitting with the crowd and wearing a jersey, I'm standing with Jesus and wearing his ring, I'm with him. When we take that stand in baptism, the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the strength to carry it out and live that new life. Have you ever decided on your own to stand with Jesus? Have you ever decided on your own to take that stand publicly through baptism? Could this be your time to go from sitting by the fire to standing with the Lord? We were in Acts 2, and let me finish up real quickly by showing you a couple of more verses here in Acts 2 at 36. Fast forward through the story to 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, not hope so, but know so. Let all Israel be assured of this thing. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. The Jesus that you killed on the cross, God has made him Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off." You see, he said, the Jesus that you killed, he really is Lord. He really is Messiah. And the people said, we need that. What do we have to do to have a relationship with the Lord and the Messiah? And he spelled it out. He said, repent. Repent means to change. It means to walk away from your old life and start a new life. It means to get up from sitting with the crowd and stand with Jesus. Repent and be baptized. You see, in Peter's time, in his mind, there was no difference between the two. The moment you got saved, you went to the river. We've confused it by making it two separate events, by saying that you get saved this week, and then in a few weeks when we have time to clean up the baptistry and make it nice and clean and comfortable, and we'll make sure the heater's working for you, and we'll plan it all out. You know, we've made it a little bit more confusing. For them, it was one event. You get saved. How do you tell people that? You get baptized. And so Peter says, here's what you do. You want to be right with the Lord, right with the Messiah, you repent and get baptized. You let people know that it's the real deal when you really make the real deal with Jesus Christ. With many other words, in verse 40, he said, with many other words, I love that part. See, he preached a long time too. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation, from the crowd around you. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 got baptized that day. Now I wonder, that day, why shouldn't this day be that day for you? Could this be the day that you decide not to be for Jesus, but to be with him? Could this be the day you decide to wear his ring instead of his jersey? Could this be the day that you decide to stop sitting in the crowd and take a stand with Jesus? We're going to sing in just a moment, I've decided to follow Jesus. It is a powerful personal commitment that says, if the world stays, I'm going. If nobody else follows, I don't care. I'm following. And I want to ask you, I'm going to challenge you. He said he pleaded with them. There's a difference between putting pressure and pleading, and I'm pleading like Peter did. If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, and or if you have not followed through in baptism, I'm pleading with you. Let this day be that day for you. Trust in Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and give you a new start, and then follow through in baptism. I'm going to encourage you, if you need to receive Christ or if you need to take a public stand in baptism, I want to ask you to come down and let us know that. Let us pray with you. And we'll baptize you tonight. You won't have a t-shirt, but that'll be all right. All right? We're going to have baptism tonight. It's the perfect day for you to take your public stand and say once and for all, I'm with him. Now, I'll tell you, when you're close, it won't be easy. But I'll also tell you this, that when you're close, the Holy Spirit gives you power beyond imagination, that you can endure what's not easy, and in the end, you'll be with him forever. You ready? I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. Would you come, trust him, follow him, be with him? Let's stand together.